And welcome back, everyone, to the Odd Man Rush. For Wes Goldstein, Aaron Brown, this is Greg Simaluka. How's everyone doing?
Okay.
All right, we're going to jump right into the topics. Today we are in an Olympic year, which means no All-Star game. But that doesn't mean that we here at the Odd Man Rush could take a little time to discuss who we feel maybe should have or could have made an All-Star game had the festivities taken place. And actually, we're gonna do this a little bit differently. We had our users kind of do some of the legwork for us, and they did an amazing job and a really good turnout of users who put forth players they felt were deserving at this point in time in the season. And what we're going to do is we're going to go position by position in each conference and go over some of the more unanimous decisions and maybe some of the flyers that some of the users put, not the Philadelphia Flyers. But some players that users felt were deserving that maybe weren't along the lines of a consensus pick. So we're going to start off in the East, and we're going to take a look at the goaltending situation. Most people came up with Brodeur, Miller, and Vokoun, and I think those are all excellent points. But there were some that gave some love to Varlamov and Fleury. So what I want to do is I want to throw it to the both of you to either make or break the case for either one of those goaltenders. And obviously, if you do that, somebody's got to come off that top list.
It feels like a game show.
It is.
Behind door number one.
Clearly the digital, the game clock was ticking. So.
Oh, sorry. Well, here's the thing. Before my buzzer runs, I think that's I'm Varlamov and Fleury replacing either the top three you mentioned. Not a chance.
Not a chance.
I agree. I think. I would just say, obviously, Miller playing the way he's been playing this season. Vokoun's really come into his own as of late. You might be able, maybe not bump Brodeur off, but I think Brodeur would get on more as a sentimental, especially with breaking the shutout record.
He's got pretty good numbers.
He does have good numbers, but I'm saying he would. People was even if he didn't, he would get on there anyway. I think because usually when a guy's a veteran or has done something significant during the year, he'll get some
love. He deserves it though. The only guy that I would say that should be in the equation as well is Henrik Lundqvist. I think that he's played well enough despite the Rangers' record. Mm-hmm. I mean, really. Gabrick has been their offense. Lundqvist has been their defense. He's given them more chances than they really deserve to win. So I would put
on
him
some nights.
On many. Well, maybe not lately.
I think he's had this season more off nights than he's ever had before in his career.
Could be, but there's also a lot of pressure when you have.
Of course,
offense. I think the team is not playing well in front of him. But I'm not saying I would necessarily replace, but I said if of anybody else that I would add in the equation, I would put him before Fleury or Semyon Varlamov.
All right, so let's shoot out to the West where there was not quite as much of a unified voice as to who the goaltenders were. And we had a pretty good mix of Nabokov, Anderson, Brizgalov, Quick, Kiprusoff, and Luongo. So here we have a pretty good list of some excellent goaltenders out West and all having pretty good years, some better than others, but you've got three slots to allocate for your All-Star teams. For the West, who are we going with?
My picks were Quick, Brizgalov, and Craig Anderson.
Okay, so instead of telling me why you picked those, tell me why you wouldn't have picked the others.
In part, I think because it would be nice to have a little bit of change.
Sure.
I think we do see a lot of Nabokov and Kiprusoff and Luongo in the West.
Right.
And I think that they've had, again, not terrible seasons. I think Luongo's always good, but kind of so-so. I wouldn't put him past what, say, Quick or Brizgalov have done this year.
Yeah, certainly, the Quick story is really, it's a great story for the NHL. Guy's come up and he's really, performed, to an extreme, to a high level. And, why not? Give him a shot.
Yeah.
I think, I think he took Anderson's spot on Team USA. Although, had Brian Burke chosen Team Now, I think Anderson would be there instead of Tim Thomas. Mm-hmm. But Quick.
Exactly.
Quick played his way on. He's a young goalie. And really, it's an interesting story because the Kings are really a very hot team right now. They're a very good team. They've had a great season. And it's a young team. you know, this is a team that's always had goaltending as its Achilles heel. And he's basically come in and settled that for them. So I think, he's been an all-star goaltender. Brizgalov has been great, too. And honestly, I mean, you're looking at all these goals. You're looking at potentially, you know, a lot of Olympians. Like, other than Anderson, everybody else is going to be an Olympian there. Nabokov has been very, very good in San Jose.
Right.
Luongo,
it's not the playoffs.
I don't think Luongo is having an awful season.
No,
but
no.
To me, the difference is, like, Luongo is always the story in Vancouver where they go. This year it's the Sedin twins. So
yeah. Sure,
I don't think he's the all-star. And so I would drop him from the list. I would go the same thing. Like, I would go Anderson, Brizgalov, and Quick.
And just one more reason. I should point out, when I was trying to pick my team just randomly, not randomly, but when I was trying to pick the team, I was trying to stick to the one player from each team. So we'll get to the forwards later, but Vancouver was well represented. So
sure.
Does Edmonton deserve to have anybody?
I know I had someone.
Sheldon Saray for at least offering up to help ease the team.
Right.
Not necessarily because of his play, but because of his selfless.
For his fighting skills.
Yeah, that too.
I just realized I guess I didn't follow that method because I think I forgot to put someone from Edmonton on the team.
Gee, how could you do that for the worst team in the league?
Oops.
Oh, good times.
We'll just say he got hurt.
let's shift over to the East defense. We'll go back to the East and we'll talk about the defense. And some of the names that were featured more regularly, we have Mike Green, Pronger, Cabrelet, Gonchar, and Chara. Whether you agree with that or not, here were some of the names that were not quite as consistent throughout the list. We have Enstrom, Strait, Pitkinen, Jeff Schultz, and rookie Tyler Myers.
I like him.
Yeah, Myers same here.
Had a real good season. He's big. I mean, a 19-year-old doing what he's doing, the minutes he's eating up, pretty impressive.
Very impressive.
I obviously the first guys you name, there's no way you can bump them off.
I don't know. I mean,
well, they're going
to tell us why.
Yeah, they're the big names, and we all get that. Yeah. But I don't know that they're all having like
all-star
fantastic
years.
Yeah.
Well, I guess again, trying to do the balancing when you do the forwards, and then you say, okay, well. You know, that again, when I was trying to do this, it was a matter of balancing. And there are guys, I mean, you can't get Crosby, you can't get Malkin, you can't get Ovechkin. There are other guys in that mix too. So, so when it comes down to making sure certain teams are represented, who are you going to put on Toronto? Thomas Cabrelet. He's their leading scorer.
But he deserves it. I mean, he's having an all-star year.
As far as Philadelphia, I'm not sure their forwards would trump some of the forwards. Some of the usual suspects. So you kind of throw Pronger in there. Chara.
He deserves
Chara
it too.
Forwards. Who do you put from Boston? I don't know that there's.
Bergeron.
I don't know.
He's on the Olympic team.
Well,
you know what? I mean, that says something about the kind of season he's having. You know?
It does. But yet, Chris Anderson is not, and we have him on the All-Star team. So.
Yeah. So
Tim Thomas, one of those is.
But I think my pick actually for that last defensive spot, I actually picked Enstrom, and it wasn't because I was anti-Tyler Myers. I think Myers is the better of the two, but I figured he would probably get picked for the Young Stars game because that always seems to be the case when they have, a really stud rookie, and they're like, no, you're
unless
not going to the All-Star game.
Unless he's like incredibly high-level.
Yeah,
stud rookie. I mean, otherwise, they say, well, you're having a fine season, so here's the Young Stars.
But there
game.
Have even been stud rookies who didn't, make it onto the All-Star team. So I definitely think he is worthy of a spot. I just went with the guy who's.
Didn't Carey Price have to play in both the Young Stars and also they couldn't get a second goalie last year?
Well, wasn't that like a last-minute thing, though?
They couldn't get a second goalie. Yeah. There was nobody that good. It was a rookie.
All right, so let's shift out west. And we have Keith, Boyle, Weber, Drew Doughty. We're pretty standard picks. But then we have Robida, Lidstrom, Seabrook, and Erhoff making some lists as well. But again, not as regularly. So are we talking about these are the folks, or are there some people that weren't even mentioned here that you would put in as West defensemen?
I would. I mean, I like Seabrook, and I don't know who I'd replace. But again, he's
got two spots. Yeah, okay. Did you go with the standard four?
Right, exactly.
I was doing six. Well, Seabrook definitely on them. Aeroff maybe, but the guy I actually have been – there's two guys who have been pretty impressed with this year and have kind of come out of nowhere in the West. And one is Keith Yandel with Phoenix.
Yep.
I think he had a really, really good season.
Yep.
The other guy is Kyle Quincy in Colorado.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to make sure I put it out there that, you know, maybe there's somebody that's not here that you feel could be on here.
Not that I'm criticizing our fans' choices.
No, users. Exactly.
They're the experts.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm just offering an opinion.
Yeah. No, and I love the Yandel pick. I think he's a really solid player, and I look forward to seeing him in the future.
He's really good, actually.
Yep. Agreed.
Aaron? I was going to say, for the beyond the four, my one was Lidstrom. And I know he's not having this kind of seasons he's had previously, but, you know, when you look at some of his numbers, I think he's still leading his team in plus minus. He's still putting up a decent number of points.
Yeah,
and for a team that's been an absolute wreck, he's been the captain for them. He's been the captain behind the wheel of the ship, and that's something that, you know.
That's a good point. I agree with that, because I think Lidstrom, you know, if you look at a glance, his season may not seem as good as previous seasons, but if you look at what Detroit's gone through this year with the injuries and the way they're playing and the lost players, and the fact is that he is still basically maintaining his level of play even though the rest of the team has. And he's pushing 40.
And the standards set for him are so high.
Exactly, yeah.
And anything not, you know, on pace with what his career averages are could seem as if this guy's not having a good year. But, you know, if you watch the games, you realize that Nick Lidstrom is still Nick Lidstrom.
And the good thing is, you know, if you did choose him for an All-Star, if there was an All-Star game and you chose him, you know he would show up this year. Because last year, remember, he missed the game.
Right.
And he was suspended for not being there. So
he's
going to be – he'll be there. You can know.
He would guarantee that Nick Lidstrom will be there. With bells on.
Yes.
Okay, so let's shift back to the East. And this time moving to the forwards. A lot of consensus here: Ovechkin, Crosby, Malkin, Backstrom, Semin, Gavrik, Kovalchuk, Parise. So now we're talking about some of the guys that not quite as regularly mentioned: Stamkos or Marty St. Louis, Camilleri, and or Thomas Plekanec. Then we got Richards or Jeff Carter. Then Jamie Langenbrunner, you got Connolly, you got Tavares.
And someone threw out
Steve Downey.
Right. How? Please explain.
Alfred 41.
Why could, Steve Downey?
Make
we want to know.
Make your case for Steve Downey. And
I cannot.
I can't either.
There's a lot of firepower on this list. Even when you look at the players that maybe weren't on consensus picks. And there's just a lot of solid players here who probably deserve a spot. But then, okay, who's
coming
Malkin's
down? You think Malkin's an All-Star this year? I don't.
But
think.
You know, if it were
well, that's what I'm saying.
Voting, he would be on that team.
Right. No, but we're
We're not going. Yeah, we're not doing voting. If we were doing voting, we wouldn't have done half the things.
Right.
We
just limit to six.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just a quick question for you: when you think of All-Star teams, do you ever consider what they did in the previous year? The fact that Malkin won the scoring title. Do you kind of give those guys a little bit of an advantage because they did accomplish?
From our standpoint, or at least from me. This is the reason why you get guys that, it's their first time. And the reason they make it because it's their first time is because they're having that great first half. If you do things like that and apply the last year to it, you may never get that. You may never get this one-time, wonder where, hey, you know what? I'm having a great year. I'm performing at a level that's better than or equal to the elite players, and this is my shot to do it. I may never do this again. They deserve to be there.
Right.
They should be there.
The All-Star, let's face it. The All-Star game should be about that particular season. It's not about reputation. It's not about in many cases it
agreed.
Is. There's
of course it is.
You get,
the guy that's hurt that's always going to be
right, because the reality,
tops in the voting.
Yeah, the reality is this, that this is a showcase for the league. When they play the game, they want to have marquee names. But if you're going, if we're going strictly on the fact, on the basis of who is having an all-star quality year, I don't think Malkin's in there.
Well, the dart hit Malkin, so.
Right. Yeah, you know. Well, but, you know, I mean, if you think about, you know, you're looking across the league and all right, so you're going by team, and you're like, Pittsburgh, like, well, I got to have Crosby in there.
Right.
I have,
and he deserves it. He's having that.
Yeah,
got to have. But without even thinking, you're going to say, got to have Malkin in there, right? Because he's a superstar in the league, so he's going to be there. And then, yeah, maybe you take a look at the numbers, and, you know, they can be deceiving, and you can't always judge a player, good or bad, based on the numbers. And, yeah, he's, you know, he hasn't had the season that he's had in the past, but, you know, there's. And I guess the flip side of that is when you look at all the names we just mentioned that aren't on the consensus list, there's a lot of legitimate people there that could replace.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So let's look at some of those. I mean, especially when we're talking about you know, teammates, or looking at Stamkos and St. Louis, which would you, assuming that there was one spot available, and that's what we'll do for all these option
Stamkos.
Ones.
Stamkos. Yes. I mean, the guy's having an unreal season.
I picked Louis both.
but he just said
someone else got dumped off the list.
Looking at the teammate situation that we've got lined up here, which one, if you only had one spot?
Okay. Yeah, he's having
unreal. You know, for a guy thrust into a situation the way he was and how everything went down his first year, and you got new management and you got coach fired and you know, all these crazy things going on, the way he's matured as a player, you never heard from him, you know, like a bat, you know, he just you know, head down, you know, skating, you know, played his game, didn't pay attention to all these external things. I mean, and not to say that it didn't affect him, but he grew up, he's playing extremely well, and he's living up to, you know, his first slot selection.
And the thing is, what's really interesting, I think, about him is that you really can see a visible improvement from the second half of last year. Because I remember I did a story on him, like, towards the end of the season last year, probably in March, end of February, beginning of March or something. Yep. And he was, at that point, he was picking it up. I think he scored the bulk of his 22 goals last year. From January on,
exactly.
It just, you know, he got his feet wet those first 3 months. He started taking steps, and whatever he did in terms of training over the summer, this season has been unbelievable the way he's played.
Yeah, and I think it's not to go on someone's misfortune, but I think the fact that Lekavi is not having such a great year, it's probably good for Stamkos because he's able to kind of say, hey, look, I can do stuff too.
Last year he was in a little bit of a shadow as much as
he was the first round pick. I mean, that's a pretty solid offensive, you know, squad with St. Louis and Le Cavalier, and to be kind of third wheel, you know, it's in a way it's good that he's able to get out there and, you know, not feel like he's stepping on anyone's toes, I guess.
Right. Well, I think, like I said, I just think he's grown quite a bit. I think he's matured physically.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and I think he's got strong. It's interesting because I was talking to Scott Gordon, the Islanders coach, last week. We were talking about the Islanders players, and, you know, they're not scoring goals, and this is like a whole issue with them. Why can't they score? Why can't they score? And he says, look, these guys are working hard, but you're talking about, we have 19 and 20-year-old kids, and they're playing against men. And said, you know, they're going through the slots, but they're getting pushed out of the way.
Exactly.
And, you know, they're not getting the shots off. And he said, they're going to get bigger, they're going to get stronger, but right now, it's not they're not trying. You know, they can't do it. And Stamkos, I think, got bigger and stronger.
Sure.
Whatever he did over the summer, you know, physically, I think it's a big difference the way he plays the game, too.
Agreed.
Plus, he gets off that shot really fast.
He does. Yeah. It always amazes me when I watch guys who try to, you know, do anything and everything they can behind the puck, right? You know, to you know, whether it's winding up for this, you know, gargantuan slap shot, and or you know, doing something to try and get a little bit more behind the puck, and more often than not, it's the quick release that gets the goal, because as much as I'm winding up, the goalie's preparing. Whereas if you know, you just get rid of the puck quickly, there's no time for that preparation, and it's sole reaction, and sometimes that's not enough to stop the puck.
As long as you hit the net.
Yeah, exactly. And more often than not, when you're trying to get more behind the puck, you're not going to be accurate.
Yes.
So you can be – I think it's easier to have a quick release and be accurate than it is to try and power through the goal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, all right, so let's move over to Plekanec and Camilleri.
One or the other. Well, Camilleri is hurt for 8 weeks, I guess.
Well, we're not going to – you know, this is based on what he's done leading up to this point. So.
I would pick – Plekanec is their leading scorer, leading point scorer, but Camilleri is the leading goal scorer.
The more impactful.
He scored some really, really nice goals this year. I mean, like the highlight reel goals, many of them. He's been a really, really good player for them.
I kind of went with Plekanec. Yeah. You know, your leading scorer, he's been pretty steady
on.
We're
putting in a difficult situation. Yeah, because you can only take
speaking
one.
Of which, you know, actually, if we go back to the East defenseman, one guy that I would add to that list as well is Andrei Markov. And, you know, people kind of overlook him.
After that injury?
Yeah.
The way he's come back?
Look at the power play, the difference in the Montreal's power play since he came back. That's been their – I mean, they're not really a great team right now.
No, but still.
But that's been their
– To have that kind of value, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that when you come back, you can make that much of an improvement to the team. That is significant. That's an excellent point, Wes.
Thank you.
You are welcome. All right, so let's shift. Let's go to Philadelphia. We have Richards and Carter. Same scenario.
Neither one.
Yeah, that's why I went with Pronger.
You know, I mean, looking at the start of the year, you know, you'd be like, well, this is an easy decision. But how things change and you know, they're perhaps not deserving.
Yeah, again, that's why before when I said, well, can't I have both with St. Louis and Stamkos? And that was my thinking when I came
Since
to Richard DeCarter. I said, no, if I have to give him a flyer, throw it to Pronger, and I'd rather have both St. Louis and Stamkos. So.
All right, so no love for Langenbrunner, Tim Connolly, or
Jonathan
Tavares.
Tavares, no. Connolly, he's having a very good year. And coming back, you know, he's always – this is like a perpetual injury guy. But he's having a real good year. They put him on a line with Pominville and Jochen Hecht for the last 6 weeks.
I mean, Buffalo just keeps on doing it.
That's been their line for a long time.
They just keep on doing it.
Well, since he's been,
They put him together like basically around this early December, and they played together like about 20. He had a 16 game scoring streak or something, a 16 game point streak. I mean, he's producing basically at a point a game clip for the most part. He's been good. Tavares, you know, the hype and whatever, good start.
Yeah.
But, you know, even his good start, if you look at his numbers, I mean, a lot of their power play goals.
I was going to say, the guy from the Islanders that I looked at as one to represent would be Molson, just because of the season he's had.
Yeah, he's had it.
And I know that's part because of who he's playing with.
Right.
But at the same time, he's heard of him before. And
one of it could be his career season. Better give him the honor while he can.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly my point.
And there was two other guys I think that weren't even mentioned, two teams that we haven't even covered. One being Carolina.
Oh, Carolina. Eric Staal. Yes.
Since
he's been captain, there's a transformation going down since he became.
I mean, It was immediate.
He scored, I think, two goals that first game. And, it's just something about that. It's like the cape.
Just going to say, he's got the little Superman outfit underneath the jersey.
Whatever it is. It's sometimes, you know, luck has a way of stepping in too, because any time he would throw the puck at the net, it would go in. You know, he's trying to pass to the middle, hits off a guy's skate and goes in. You know, he's got no angle. He's just throwing at the net, and that's when the goalie decides to fall asleep. You know, these are things that, you know, these things happen to goal scorers.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and to great players, so good for him.
And I was going to say one other person was Daniel Alfredsson for Ottawa, because we didn't – I don't think anyone was – picked from Ottawa, so and they're,
maybe
they're
that's who Alfred 41 is, and he was like, you know,
how about Mike Fisher so you
can
carry Underwood to sing the national anthem,
whatever works.
I did think of that for a second, but
realized that
to Nashville.
You know, I was wondering that. I kind of said when I heard that was all, coming to, I said, when's it going to end up in Nashville? Because
all right, so let's move over to the West.
That's very convenient. NHL team
it
in
is.
The city where
it is.
Next week's topic.
West, West forwards, we have Marleau, Thornton, Heatley.
Oh, God, good choices.
Yeah, nice little setup right there. Henrik Sedin.
For sure.
Patrick Kane,
for sure.
Anze Kopitar.
Yes.
So now what about... Daniel Sedin, and we have Burrows also out there. Are they worry? And then Getzlaff or Perry. What about Pavel Datsyuk? Or any wing for that matter. They're just not healthy enough to have, made any kind of noise. Yeah. And then there's, you have Iginla and Richards. Nash, Penner, McDonald.
See, Nash.
Nash
have been disappointed, and I don't think he's. Mm-mm. He's not played up to what he should.
Well,
the whole team, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole team has kind of struggled, and that's led to the firing of Hitchcock. And
so we have to have one of them.
I'm saying if
we don't.
We okay, don't. Then, I mean, obviously, I screwed up and forgot the Oilers, but
so
you
let's
know.
Forget the let's forget the
yeah.
Blue Jackets
no, you don't
team.
Have to.
Okay.
I mean,
well, I just I picked. I put him on the team just because if someone had to represent the Blue Jackets,
right?
It's going to
and
be
it was
Nash.
A player that was mentioned at least once, so. You know, they're on the list here, so, you know, they won't make it in somebody else's place, but some of these other names
all
are
right, from this list,
perhaps.
Brad Richards, definitely. I think he's an all-star this year. He's having a great season.
Sure.
Maybe a little bit underappreciated. I think Dustin Penner deserves it. I think he slowed up. Edmonton has just gone in the toilet for the last 2 months. But Penner was their player, carried them until then, and he still has pretty good numbers. Getzlaff is having a good season. So is Perry. I mean, you take one or the other. I would probably go with Getzlaff right now. But Iginla, you know, not so much.
No, I mean, but again, who do you put on the Flames?
On the Flames, Kiprusoff.
If you put him, but your goalies, you already got your.
Oh,
goalies.
I chose it. Well,
okay, again, that's
no,
yeah,
I know,
that's
I know.
So, but I know. Yeah, I mean, but that says something about these teams where it's like, you know, we're struggling to find
right.
a guy, and just as a comparison to the other players in the league, not necessarily that they're not good players, but there are, you know what? Hey, let's face it. There are players that are having better seasons. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that's just the case. You know, that hasn't always been the case for Iginla. It was, you know, he's a lock.
Yeah.
He's going to put up the numbers, and he's going to be one of the best players in the league.
Listen, that's why he's on Team Canada. That's why he's on Team Canada. I don't think he actually played his way onto it, but it's like you couldn't leave him off.
Yeah.
You know, although they left off Shane Doan.
Right.
Do we have a Minnesota player on this?
Yeah, I was thinking about that too as we were going through the
but
list.
You know, go down the list. You got to.
How did I miss Edmonton. Minnesota?
You know, when I do my power rankings, I tick off each team in the standings.
East Coast bias.
Well, I was Aaron Brown, opening windows and all. How did I miss Minnesota? Well, who on Minnesota? Oh no, wait, I take that back. I did have a Minnesota player. I had Mikko Koivu. Did have a Minnesota player.
I see. Okay, Minnesota gets in there.
I think Edmonton was the only one.
And what about St. Louis?
St. Louis, I had Eric Johnson on defense.
Oh, you did.
I didn't get to pick. I didn't get to mention that.
This
before.
Isn't Eric's. Aaron's list.
I see.
And the reason I had him was I know earlier on in the season he was actually leading their team in scoring. I mean that's pretty.
Yes,
you know,
but you know if you look at that team's output and his totals, that really wasn't saying very much.
I know, but
he had one
again,
goal.
Thinking of
he had one goal and 12 assists, and that was good enough for the team lead.
I know, but it was still thinking, okay, all who right. in the world
so,
gets on there?
We're gonna shift off the All-Stars and move into the
No-Stars?
to the Olympic situation. But before we do, when we were talking about the Sabres and Tim Connolly and the line and how they, you know, continually churn out good seasons. Not always great, but not always the most resources with which to translate that. Looking at the fact that there hasn't been a title, they've been close.
Wide right.
Yeah. Are we?
It's a curse. It's a Buffalo curse.
It affects every sport. The job that Lindy Ruff has done over these years. Where does he rank in your mind? I know this is kind of an impromptu topic, but it just kind of popped in my head.
Waxing poetic on Andy Ruff. Wow.
Yeah. He's a former Ranger.
Oh.
Where do you think the job he's done in this generation of coaches, you know, where does that fit?
Well, the fact that he survived.
I was just going to say, I think
that has to stand for something.
That stands for a lot. Because,
right?
Like, this is, you're talking about being, you know, in a shooting gallery. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
For coach, let's face it. You know,
the players have come and gone. The general manager, that's kind of been a consistent relationship, and that's perhaps why.
Right, because Regeer's been there. They came together. They've been there this, 12, 13
years. I think
we
may have even talked about this
they've survived
in the past
different
show.
Owners,
but,
too.
Yeah, they've survived different owners,
I mean,
right.
Consistently putting a good team out there with not the same level of resources that some of the other teams have. And, I mean, that's
– They put better teams out since the lockout. Certainly.
Yes. Because there was a rough patch.
Several years before when the bankruptcy when their former owners were carted off in handcuffs when they had to start getting rid of players, and that's when they started, you know, they lost. I mean, even before they lost Briere, Drury, Campbell.
Yeah, that's recent.
Chatan before they had players that they couldn't hang on to, and it was a real troubled situation there. And you know, I guess in that case, when you don't know where your team is going, like. Talent-wise, you need some sense of stability and having the coach.
And they've had
having,
it in that position.
Right, and it's the same situation in Nashville, where they basically had, you know, one GM and
GM
one coach,
and coach
from day one, you know. Stability counts for something. I mean, but again, it counts for something when you can basically get away with being good, sometimes maybe better. I mean, they had a win. Buffalo had their window to win the Stanley Cup right after the lockout.
Yep.
You know, and they might have – I still think they would have gotten past Carolina – that year the Hurricanes won had they had defensemen for the last game. They lost four of their top six defensemen for the final game. That is tough.
I think with Buffalo, the year they got to the Stanley Cup Finals, that was just a very gritty, chemistry-driven.
In 1999.
Yeah, very chemistry-driven team. And I think that it was a lesson to be learned that this was the kind of team that Buffalo had to field to get a shot at this. And let's face it, those kind of – they don't have a lot of superstars. I mean, as much as they pay Vanek and Miller, and those are their stars, they – you know, you'll never hear him in the mix for a Kovalchuk or a Fanouf. Or whoever is the big man at that time, they're never going to be in the mix. They couldn't keep the guys that were, the Drurys and the Briers.
But they kept Vanek.
But they kept Vanek. They were kind of their hand was kind of forced on that. But they did keep him.
But they kept
him. But,
which
for the
means
most
that
part,
if that wasn't the situation, they probably would have done it.
Right.
Yeah.
They probably
would
have kept him anyway.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Or
but for less, well, they
maybe less.
Less money.
Maybe
but,
less.
But, you know, still, I think that they know that's what works there. They know it would be foolish to think otherwise, that they could probably compete on a payroll level with a ton of other teams. And I think that it's almost like they don't get their hopes up. They don't have too big of expectations, and they're very steady and say, we got it. We have chemistry. We have some good solid players. We may not have tons of stars, but we can get it done. And I think, like the point you were making, Ruff is a big part of that. He's able to sell that to his players, and the GM, and the fact that the ownership buys into it too is huge.
The thing is this: I think when you look back at that '99 team, you know, let's face it, the one key thing, chemistry aside, the Dominik Hasek at the peak of his career, they're almost at that point now with Miller. I mean, Miller is having the kind of season that may not be. And maybe the people are talking about him as an MVP. And remember, Hasek won Vezina's and MVP award. So, you know, he's having that kind of year. That's what Buffalo – they need that one – they need the superstar goalie and then everybody else to play good, solid hockey. And that's what they get. They don't get top-name players, or they don't attract them as free agents. But, you know, they have a good mix. Ruff is a good coach. He makes the most of his talents. And, you know, you work hard. That is often the difference, because the reality is spending money, as many teams in many sports have proven, it does not necessarily guarantee winning. You can win with less expensive rosters and, you know, better chemistry. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so I didn't mean to take us off point there. So let's
talk about Barry Trotz.
no love for Barry. Let's get back to the Olympics, and we want to talk about as we're getting closer to the point where
Canada wins gold,
countries have to submit their final rosters for the Olympics. There have been some injuries that have happened over the last few weeks that kind of want to talk about, and we had the U.S. with Komisarek and Paul Martin, who was already injured but has already kind of. I said that, all right, you know what, this is not going to happen for me. Ryan Whitney, Tim Gleason taking their place. Now, you know, we're going to talk about Belarus.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think that they're not a favorite, you know. But, you know, when you look at it, for a team that doesn't have an entire field of NHL players, when those players do get hurt, it really kind of just, you know.
Not really.
Yeah.
Well, this
is going to be like their shot, you know.
At what?
Well,
to play for their country.
On a personal level, that's a different story.
Yeah.
But the team doesn't have a chance.
Right.
Well, you can't.
You know, well, I'm going to say they don't have a chance.
Yeah, they don't have a chance.
You know, but you know, let's take a look at beating Sweden, right? The chances of that, thing happening again significantly decreased.
Well, that's only because Tommy Salo was not net to give up a goal from the other.
That is potentially the case.
Let's put it in a different perspective. USA Hockey was never they're never favored to win the gold. But I think that given what they have done in the past, people have a sense of, hey, maybe there's a chance. And for Belarus to have pulled that upset when they did it in 2002, that was huge. And I believe they had one NHL player on their roster that year.
They scored from center ice.
It still happened.
Well, okay.
Okay.
And Tommy Salo's career ended that moment. And he is not playing for Sweden. If Tommy Salo that's the only thing.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, yes, college kids.
I'm sorry.
College kids beat, the Russian dynasty in 1980. It still happened, but I'm saying, like, from a country standpoint, the people who take the ice in the future say, hey, they did it before. Why can't we? It's a motivational factor.
If this the other point is
that the motivation then goes down when you see that Grabowski, yes. Soleil, Kostitsyn, you know, they're all out with an injury.
Belarus, no chance before.
No, they didn't have a chance to medal, but you know, you never know what they could
pull off with some of those guys. They could beat the Austrians,
right?
Maybe they have a better time. Maybe now their chance of going against Jochen Hecht and the Germans has diminished a little bit. Thomas Greis will be in that, but otherwise, Belarus. What difference does it make? You know, really? Okay, but anyway.
All right. So
nothing to mean the Belarusians. You know, I know they work hard.
Czech Republic, Eliáš is he still out with concussion?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And Tuomo Ruutu for Finland. Nicholas Backstrom is also out.
The goalie, Nicholas.
Yes.
But he wasn't going to play much. Kiprasov is going to be their goalie.
Right.
True, but I think that from a backup standpoint, you know.
And same thing with Varlamov, right? So Brzgalo was probably going to.
And Nabokov. Those would be two goalies. Yeah. I mean, Varlamov would be the third goalie no matter what.
Sure. I mean, at least in that first round, just looking at the U.S. schedule, I could see where they would say, okay, well, we'll have Miller start two of the three. We'll have someone start the third. So, yeah, I mean, to be able to – I don't think they want to ride – Kiprasov through the whole thing, you know. You might want to give him the break if he's playing an Austria.
Right, you want an option if he's not having a good. Yeah.
You know, I think it was they were interviewing Brodeur earlier this week, asking him if he's too tired or whatever, you know, right? And he obviously wasn't too thrilled with someone thinking that he couldn't handle it. And then when it came to the point of the Olympics, he said, let's, you know, six games over 14 days or something like that. You know, these guys work hard, you know, have a busier workload
leading up to
during
it.
The season.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Last
so
few weeks.
If a goalie was tapped for every single game, it would be a easier break for them than potentially not I don't say easier, but it's, you know, it's not something that they're not used to.
I think the question, you know, when Brodeur and this thing about the six games or whatever amount he has to play, I don't think people are looking that you're going to play six games when 14 is that being tough. It's the actual pressure of the games you're going to play.
Of course. If you ask a goalie, is a game in from December 1st to December 14th as difficult as a game from
game seven in the Stanley Cup final?
June 1st to June 14th.
Right. Because once you get to the playoff round, every game it's a one off. So
that's it.
Every game is game seven.
Right.
So that kind of intensity. But you know, Brodeur's been there before.
As I was saying, and fortunately for some of these goalies, their teams are not in any secure place, so they've been playing important and stress-filled games for a while now.
I mean
we're still in that 6-13 situation.
And we will be the rest of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, for half to completely pull away and half to completely fall apart, that's just not going to happen, as we've talked about before on the show. All right, so any other last-minute Olympic questions,
Canada
comments?
Wins gold.
Canada wins gold, says Wes Goldstein. Don't even bother watching.
No.
I want to see.
Put it on the board up top.
No. No, I think I think we were talking about this the other day about it could really be a crapshoot with the way some of these goalies are playing. You look at Thomas Vokoun and you say, oh my gosh,
were we thinking about the Czech Republic before this season?
No.
And again, no disrespect to the Czech Republic team. They have a tremendous amount of talent, especially with somebody like Jágr, not in the NHL, who will play for them, who's performing well in the KHL. Comparatively speaking, but now all of a sudden you throw into the mix a goalie who's playing out of his mind, you know, tied I think in the NHL with shutouts.
Yeah,
listen,
this is a situation that all of a sudden they now have a chance to win everything with a hot goalie.
Kiprasov can beat anybody 2-1. Mm-hmm. You know, you get Kasalani and Koivu score a couple goals. And
that's it, Kiprasov, right?
Yeah, they can win it one off, and then you can eliminate.
You got Brodeur, you got Miller. Yep.
Right.
You got Nabokov. If he goes down, you got Brzgalov.
Any one of those goalies can win a game.
And this is where another thing Aaron and I were talking about in that same conversation, and that's the value of the coaching staff realizing what the talent and the skill sets of the players you have and what you have to do in order to try and win a 2-1 game or a 1-0 game, because it may come down to that. Mm-hmm. And you may not be able to be, you know, a full pressing team all the time, hard forecheck and do all those things. You know, maybe you have to sit back a little bit if you don't have the offensive guns.
Tell it to the Russians. See how much they sit back in this.
Well, but
could that
conversely
work to
though,
their could disadvantage?
A team like,
maybe.
A team like the United States.
Unless they score 7 goals in
a team
game.
Like the United States, yeah. If they try to push forward against a team like Russia, one wrong missed
right.
forecheck, mm-hmm. and it's 3-0.
Right. No, I realize that. But I'm
that's
saying
amazing.
You, you look at the offense like the
mistake.
Russians. I mean, just think about it. You got Ovechkin, Kovalchuk.
Unreal.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's not unreasonable. Mm-hmm. Like last night when they played the Rangers and they gave up 5 goals and they got 6.
Yeah.
You know?
And they'll be perfectly content with winning a 1-goal game that
7
you know, or
yeah,
winning any go, any yeah. game, you know, regardless of the score. But if they as long as they can, you know, do what they want to do, then they're going to be successful, in my opinion. That's why I think for the teams that aren't favored, you have to disrupt the other team's game plan.
Yeah, and I think that's the point we're making with the goaltenders, is that knowing everyone could play a 1-goal
exactly.
game and
exactly.
win, you know, yep. it like you just said, the Russians could, you know, have it could be a 6-5 game. I don't think that they can necessarily play that kind of.
All
they,
I know is I still have not been able to eradicate from my mind the fact that Martin Gerber shut out Team Canada in Torino 2-0, and basically the Swiss killed us.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So that's
Mark
still,
Strait is in the NHL because of that.
Because that's yeah, and Martin Gerber's.
I wonder, and that's actually, you know what? That's another team. I think now you got to watch
the Swiss.
Hiller's going to be their goalie.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
that's
right.
that's just you know what? Did anyone think they were going to be playing for a bronze medal at the juniors? No.
Yeah, I know.
That kind of came about, and they beat, I believe it was the Russians to get there. So,
Belarus
Olympic
has got
hockey,
a shot.
Olympic hockey and World Juniors, it's a totally different beast.
Of course.
But at the same time, if you have just one or two, you know, guys, it could make a huge difference.
And you know what? These big tournaments like this, all-star tournaments, expectations can be a heck of a thing to overcome.
You think?
Yeah.
So
you don't think every player?
But you know what? How many times do teams succumb because they don't take that into consideration?
And what does it say that the 3 tournaments that the NHL players have been in, the final's been completely different every time?
Yes.
I mean, when you think yep, of you yep, had yep. Czech Russia in the first one, Canada USA, Finland
Sweden.
Know, Finland Sweden. Yep. So it's could be. I mean, for all we know, Slovakia could throw themselves into the mix. I mean, they finished
against
fifth.
Belarus. Or
no, don't pick on Slovakia. Look at their roster. They have a pretty solid. They have some pretty solid talent.
I hope
talent.
They go out early so Gavrik gets a nice little rest, and he can resume. Same thing with Sweden.
But again,
he can resume being the Rangers' entire offense.
Yes. Hey, whatever works. You know.
I say we break out the dartboard again and start making our Olympic picks that way, because I really think that for the teams that have been fielded in the past, you could say Canada should win all the Canada should have won in '98 for the kind of team that they field. They didn't.
They didn't let Gretzky take a shootout. That's Mark Crawford.
Yeah, what was that all about?
What was that all about?
Well,
All right. Let's wrap this puppy up. And we'll be back soon with another show. I want to thank everybody for listening. For Aaron Brown, Wes Goldstein, this is Greg Simoulakis signing off.